You may have seen the PAL Times, the 15 or so people that subscribe to it. You may have seen the Shopper. Yay. You may have seen that we had a press release with the company we're working with. It's good for God. It's just humbling for us. But they're also working on our website. And I like talking to Shane, coming up with stuff, what we came up with. At the top of the site, it's living the love of Jesus. I thought about that a lot. Anthony and I talked about it a little bit on Friday. And it really went along with what I felt like the Lord placed on my heart to share this morning. In Matthew 22, it says, hopefully, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Help us, God. Help us in a world of hate to portray your love. We see relationships ended because of political affiliations. We may or may not belong to a political party, but that's not our identity. My identity, our identity, is as a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ. You tell us in Philippians to consider others as better than yourself. Lord, one of the messages you're speaking to your church is we need to let go and to trust you. We need to understand what it means to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Lord, forgive us for the places where we put conditions on what that means. Speak to us today, Lord. Let us know the joy that comes through living a completely surrendered life. Just move today, Lord. Touch our hearts. In your name, amen. You know, the last year or so as a church, we've been talking about different topics. We've hit on humility. We talked about holiness and we talked about outreach. You know, it was a year ago next month in May that we did those four nightly meetings with the Copenhagen church. And I know that, I remember as we did it, because the goal of it was for us to invite people. But one of the things that I really felt as we went on, and I'm looking around, and I didn't see a lot of visitors, the Lord said, this is for you guys. And I went to a conference this weekend on foster parenting, because I wanted to see maybe how Melody and I could get involved, not as foster parents. I prayed through that, and the Lord said, no, but are there ways we can be supportive? You know, and I got a call a week or so ago from a local nursing home asking me, you know, would you do a Sunday service one Sunday a month? I don't know. I'm tired when it gets to be 12 noon on Sunday after all the prep, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm praying about it. I'm probably going to do it. And if anybody's interested, man, let me know. Doesn't mean you have to do it every time, but let's get involved. And one of the things that God is speaking is we need to live the love of Jesus Christ. But it can't come when we take control of our lives. You know, one of the things I liked about the conference we went to is the guy was talking about you have to have a long-term goal. Because so often we can get amped up about something, but it's really short-lived. I remember years ago we were in Morrisville, Melody and I, believe it or not, we used to be runners, and we're running around the track. Now, those of you that know I'm built for beauty, not for speed. So there's this young person showed up, and I said, man, I'm just going to do a mile. So they took off, and they sprinted. I said to Mel, that ain't going to last. I mean, they're sprinting, and I'm waddling, you know, and I beat them. Why? Because after a lap and a half, they realize you do not sprint a mile unless you're incredibly in good shape. So we got to be careful, because sometimes God speaks vision to me and I get excited and I speak it here before I should, because then it takes a while and what's going on? But what God is saying to us is, okay, we need a big picture. But for us to reach the community of Oswego, New York, we have to let go of what it means and how we're going to live. If God had said to us, be a foster parent, we do it. Do I want to? No. And it's not anything bad. I babysit my grandson for a day and I sleep 12 hours without even trying because I'm not as young as I used to be. But see, one thing that God is speaking to us, you need to reflect Jesus Christ with your life. It's time. New covenant. It's time to engage. It's time for you to not listen to the lies of the enemy. I can't do this because I'm going to amen that you can't, but God can through you. Believe it. Somebody who has dealt with insecurity their whole life, I know the temptation to give into that, but I know the joy that comes and said, you know what, God, I'm just giving it all to you. You know, I like what Tristan shared last week. He talked about the psalmist who lived a life of self-denial. You want to make people upset in the American church? You preach on self-denial. Oh, your faces. I gave up Cheerios tomorrow morning. I ate Wheaties, but I gave up the Cheerios. Yay! And he talked about Solomon, who gave nothing up. But what happened at the end of both of their lives? They came to God. See, there ain't nothing in this world outside of God. First point I'm making is, you know, God has to be first and foremost. You know, I've been reading lately, I've been really challenged. What does this great commandment mean to love God with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind, and to love my neighbor as myself? What does that mean? And that doesn't mean just the neighbors you like. My kids were laughing because we live in a development and it's like a 4/10 of a mile one way around. So I was walking one day, I'm on my last lap, and this neighbor of mine came out, who I have no clue who she is, right? Hey, mind if I walk with you? Yeah, keep laughing. And I'm thinking, you have no clue who I am. What do you do? Sure. Me, I'm a pastor. Quieted right down. You want to shut somebody up, you tell them. So what do? Oh, you used to teach school? Tell me about that. I was home free for 4/10 of a mile. I didn't have to say a word. A, she didn't want to hear what it was like to be a pastor. And B, I just listened. Why did I say that? Sometimes you got to do things that make you uncomfortable, like put your stupid picture in the paper. What does your life reflect? If you were to take a poll of the people that you knew, would they say, man, you know what? You remind me of a good old Christian. Or would they say something else? I want to reflect Jesus Christ. I want to live for God. I remember once I was struggling, thinking I was a not really great Christian. I was just struggling, and there was a friend of mine, his name was Bobby. He was an older gentleman that had Down syndrome, and everybody in the neighborhood, the kids would pick on him, and I'd come chase him away, and we'd hang out. And sometimes Bobby would be walking through my backyard, his bathrobe in the middle of the day, but that's okay, we were friends. So one day it was snowed to beat the band, and I shoveled our driveway, and I knew God said, go shovel his. He lived with his sister. No, I don't like snow. I don't like lifting snow. I don't like shoveling snow. But I've also learned when God says go, you don't stay. So I did it. And the next day I'm getting in the car, and his sister goes, hey, thanks for the driveway. What are you talking about? She goes, ain't nobody else in this neighborhood would do something like that. So I realized, okay, God, that's how we impact people. That's how New Covenant Church impacts people. You know, in the next few months, again, I want to start what we started up north. I want to start a Helping Hands ministry where we do community service for the community, and we reach out to people and show them the love of Jesus Christ in a practical way. I was at a store recently, and there's a checkout lady, and she was obviously of a different religion, and ain't nobody going to her cashier thing. So I went right up, and I, you know, she's checking me out, and we had a great conversation. It ain't contagious, people. And every time I see her, man, we talk and we have a good time because I want to impact people for Christ. I see people that are down and out, like, you know, we have Second Chance Ministry downstairs, and you know what? It's a great ministry. Is it challenging at times? It is, but it's a great ministry. I want to love people with the love of Jesus Christ that is unconditional, and they know it's real. You know, two words that really come to mind, uncomfortable and inconvenient. Please take the word comfort and convenience and erase it from your life. If you want a life with Jesus Christ, it will not be convenient and it will not be comfortable, but we live in a day and age where it's about me and it has to fit into my paradigm of what it should be like. There's a lot going through my head. I want to be careful. Let me use the example of prayer and fasting. I bring this up, I have everybody tell me I can't fast. And that's good, if you really can, I accept that. But you can't, or you won't. That is what the bottom line is. If we want to impact this city for Jesus Christ, we can't have strings attached. I need to fully surrender my life to him. Whatever he tells me to do, my feeling like it isn't part of it. When my kids were young, hey, I need you to clean the room. Guess what? They may not have felt like it because they lived obediently, they cleaned the room. I want to live obediently to God. Are there a lot of things that God tells me to do I don't want to do? Hello. But I want to glorify Jesus. As we cultivate a vision moving forward, the potential for this church excites me. And one of the things that I get most excited about is I just see God coming and healing a lot of people from past hurts, from lies that you have listened to about how impactful you can be for the kingdom of God. The NFL draft was this weekend. A lot of times it's a crapshoot. I'm not going to mention names, but you know, I'm a Colts fan, so I liked it when years ago they drafted Peyton Manning. The guy they drafted after him, I feel bad, he was a complete bust. Second pick in the draft. They pick people built on their potential. You don't have to realize your potential. It's not a given. I won't mention who, I gotta say this. A friend of mine used to say, potential's crap. Oh, but we're gonna reach our potential, New Covenant. We're going to learn the joy that comes from putting Jesus first and foremost. But this is inconvenient. Okay, I'm going to do it. The secret is don't think. I remember one of the first times I went with Barnabas Ministries to Ghana. They crammed our schedule. I think in 2.5 weeks we had like one day off. And it's nuts. And I don't know why, but when I go over there, I get insomnia. So you gotta get up at 4:30 in the morning sometimes. I'm awake at midnight, 12:30. But by God's grace, I'm not that tired. But I learned one thing. If I thought too far down the road about all the meetings we had, I'd get overwhelmed. So I would just say, God, what am I doing today? Okay, then the next day, Lord, what do you have before us, man? I want you to move today, Lord. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of potential, but we just have to say, God, what is it you have for us today? God is going to move powerfully. You know, Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I heard David Jeremiah the other night was talking, and he's saying one of the things the devil does is he takes the Bible out of our lives. He puts us in circumstances where we just don't read the Bible. Then we wonder why we're a little shipwrecked, why we're a little dry, because we're not feeding. You know, there's the Bible challenge right now. I don't think I'm going to do it, but I'm praying about it. You read the Bible in 1 month. That's only 31.9 chapters a day. I did the math. But what if God wants me to? You know, one of the things I'm praying about for 2024 is to give us a 2-year plan to read through the whole Bible in 2 years, and that we all read it together, and the sermons we give for those 2 years are going to come out of from what we read. But you need the Word of God. It's not legalism, it's life. If you're not doing well spiritually, read the Psalms. Spend time there. Let it build you up. Let it encourage you. Let you see where David is real with God and he gives his emotional pleas and God always answers him. I love this verse. When I struggled for over a year answering the call about being a pastor, I read this verse and God smacked me upside the head. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Don't look at your weaknesses, look at his strength. I see it in some of your eyes this morning. There's a place of doubt, there's a place of weariness, but God is saying, come to me and I will give you rest. God wants you to believe that he is the good God and he's going to do exciting things. You know, the next point I do want to talk about is love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Everybody matters to God. And sometimes when we get done with the message, I'll say, hey, don't talk to anybody you know really well for 5 minutes. Why? Because I want us to reach out. A power of New Covenant Community Church, and I get this from so many people that visit, we are a relational church. People need true and real relationships. People need to know that they matter. We need to corporately and individually say, God, how do we love our neighbors? And as you pray, God's going to reveal things to you. Hey, I think we need to start this ministry. Come and talk to me about it. Like I said, the testimony of the Copenhagen church was we went from being a cult in that village to really being a church people respected and loved because we started this Helping Hands ministry and we reached the community. We reached the alcoholics. We reached the people that were down and out. We rolled up our sleeves and we served and people saw you have genuineness. And it wasn't us, it was the love of God in a practical way. When you care for other people, God will open the door for you to share the good news. It's okay to have a conversation with somebody and not give them the full gospel at one time. You can say the right thing at the wrong time. And you know I'm not telling you don't share with people. I'm saying let the Holy Spirit show you when to talk. But we need to let people know they matter to us. I shared this example before, but we have a friend, Deanna. And about 3 years ago, she gave us a Christmas letter. And in it, she goes, "You know what I remember, Mrs. Beaumont? When I was 3 years old, you were at our house and you were talking to me and you got down on your knees and you looked me in the eye and I mattered to you." Isn't that a small move? But yet 24 years later, somebody remembered that? This is what I'm talking about in New Covenant. Genuine love for other people. You want to be happy in life, then you do what God tells you. If you want to be unhappy in your life, then don't do it. I know it's overwhelming, and I know we like to condemn ourselves, but let's move forward. If you're going through a low place in your life, man, focus on Jesus. One of the things we talked about in prayer and fasting is reaching the lost, awakening a spiritual hunger in our city. Insight on how to reach the one person for Jesus, the one person that I hope you're praying for. God, who is that one person that you want me to talk to build a relationship, to cultivate a relationship, to give of myself to help them so that I can invite them to church, so that I can tell them about Jesus Christ? Let's live the love of Jesus. The main thing I wanted to get to today, we're saying this, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Matthew, Jesus says, you can build on the soil of rock or the sandy soil. We sang about it today. When the storms come, if you don't have the rock, you crumble. The rock is God's word. Our life has to be built on God's word. The psalmist says three powerful things. Unless God builds the house, it's vain. Unless God protects, it's vanity. It's vain to get up early and work your butt off. You know what vanity means? Vain means in this? It means it's empty. It's worthless. Oh, maybe you work really hard. And you're building a fantastic life. It will burn. It has to be Christ-centered. God, what is it you want me to do? I was reading about this country singer who's in love with herself. She only eats, drinks liquids. You know, she's posing risque things. She's in her late 50s. And I was reading this article by the singer from Coldplay, how, you know, Bruce Springsteen only eats one meal a day. That's why at the age of 73, he really looks buff. And that's really good to be in shape. Don't get me wrong. That ain't getting you to heaven, people. Guess what? You will get old. And outside of plastic surgery, you're gonna look it. I'm 65 years old. If I put up my high school senior picture, there's a little difference there. If you want your life to mean something, you love people with the love of Jesus Christ. You look around after the service and you say, who do you want to talk to through me? You go to the store. You know, one of the things I learned Mike Stahl used to be a pastor here. He went home to be with the Lord. But one of the things that Mike taught me was, like, when I go to a restaurant, man, I just engage with the waitresses and I talk to them, where before, because I can be, believe it or not, quiet and private, I wouldn't do that. You know, I went to Maria's with a friend of mine this week, and the waitress goes, "Want some coffee?" She looks at me and goes, "Oh, no, it's you." I took it in a good way. What am I trying to say? I need to get over myself. God wants us to get over ourselves. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That means you're selfless. That means you're sacrificial. That means you reach out to them. You know, it says, unless the Lord builds the home, the house. You know what? I think of houses. I think of family. I think of security. I think of good times. But I realize, you know what, God? I want you to build the house. I want you to show me how to live. Close your eyes. I have more, but I think God's done. Let God talk to you. In worship today, we addressed God's the rock. I wish I could put a force field around everybody here and the sorrows and the pain of life wouldn't touch you. But I know that's not a reality. I know that bad things happen to all of us. I know that sorrow comes. I know we get tired. But God is saying today, let me build your house. Trust me in what you do. I have learned to lay aside my desire for comfort. Say, God, what is it you want me to do? It might be inconvenient. It might be a Sunday afternoon where they want you to go to a nursing home once a month. But you gotta pray, and I have to pray, Lord, what is it that you want? And I know he very well could say no. But God is saying to New Covenant, it's time for a new season. It's time to move forward. I want you to touch this community with a genuine love that can only come from God. I can be an awesome father to my daughters. But I want God's love to touch me and for me to be the father he wants me to be. I could eat one meal a day or just drink liquid stuff and be in incredible shape, and it's good to be in shape, don't get me wrong. But isn't that vanity? I want to be a good steward of my body. But I want to build a lasting impression for the kingdom of God. Let's just pray quietly for a minute. I admit I'm struggling on how to close. But let me close with these words of prayer. Father, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. Lord, I believe I see what you want to do in this place. Let us stand strong against the attacks of the enemy. Let us hang loosely onto the control, Lord. let us allow you to build this house. I'm going to put Mr. DePiro on the spot. He knows nothing what's going to happen, but I trust God. You're supposed to close us in prayer.
Amen. Amen. You know, when we were in worship a little earlier, God brought a scripture to my heart that I was talking about Tuesday night at Basic, and this is obviously my opportunity to share it, because that was kind of a prayer. So God is here this morning, and I want you to just think for a minute. You can sit in your seat, you can open your eyes, close your eyes, whatever comfortable, but there's a pretty powerful man and great testimony in the Bible, a man by the name of John the Baptist, right? Pretty awesome guy proclaiming the Lord, making straight the path. And circumstances and situations didn't go his way. And he ended up in prison. He's the one who said, you know, I'm not worthy to tie your sandals, your sandals. And because of what happened to him, he sent his own disciples to Jesus to ask him a question. Are you the one we're waiting for? Is someone else to come? And I want to encourage you this morning, are there places in your life where you've kind of gotten really rocked and you're not sure if Jesus can handle it? Are you rocked and don't have the confidence in the Lord that we should? I want to encourage you this morning that He is here. He has not changed. He is the one. You can have confidence in Him. He is the mighty one. Even the great Peter, who said, Lord, I will go to the death with you in circumstances that were beyond what he could handle, denied the Lord. And I'm sharing that with you to say, Jesus is still on the throne. He can handle it. You can have confidence in him wherever he's leading you. And I just want you to take a minute and look in your heart and see the place where the Lord wants to bring confidence back, hope back, excitement back, encouragement back. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Remember what he said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. And I remember one day saying, Lord, in the most innocent way I could, I know that's what you say, but I'm not feeling that my life is really in all that abundance. And he gently whispered something to me, and it made all the difference. And I'm going to pray, but I want to share this with you. He said to me, what is life? And in that moment, the Lord opened my eyes to see that he is the life. And therefore, when he said he came that we could have life to the full, it's because of him. And no matter what is pressing on you, no matter what circumstances, difficulty, illness, relational problems, doubts, whatever it is that's pressing, he is above all that because he is the life. You can still have life to the full in him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we just come before you this morning. We accept that word, Lord. And in order to move out, Lord, and love you and love each other, we gotta know you. We have to be close with you. We have to believe you. We have to trust you. And it takes work. But Lord, I pray this morning by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray for a fresh impartation of your Spirit in our lives, Lord, that would just shake us to the core, that we would know how much you love us and how much you are for us and how much you are standing with us. But we need to turn our eyes to you. And regardless of what our mind, Lord, thoughts that come in, our emotions that may be assaulting that, we can still choose you in every situation. And I pray for that fresh impartation of who you are and your great love and care for us, Lord. And I just thank you for this time. In your mighty, mighty name, Jesus, we pray, Lord. Amen.